like mommy so special because I like her every day.
I love my mommy so much because I like to play teapot with mommy.
My mommy helps me with my homework. My mommy cooks good meals. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Wesley, Dr. Judy, ministers, deacons, ASBC family, and family and friends watching online. Special shout out to my hubby watching online in South Korea. Don't worry, I won't run up the credit card bill too much treating myself this weekend. As others have mentioned before, I am not exactly sure why Pastor Wesley asked me to speak this evening. While I'm definitely honored, I wonder, what did I have to say and anything that people wanted to hear? Let me set the scene for you. I'm at Bible study, and Reverend Marcia asks for everyone to pass the peace. We stand up and begin to greet each other, as usual. Dr. Judy shakes my hands and says very stoically, "Be expecting a call from Pastor Wesley this week," and walks away. Shanika, who was sitting next to me, overhears our exchange and says, "Ooh, you in trouble," and giggles. Baffled by the cryptic message, this is exactly how I felt. Uh-oh, what did I do? The dancers have been dancing consistently. The last time we ministered, we didn't hit Pastor with the flag. At least I don't think we did. And to be honest with you, I can't even tell you what Bible study was about that night. I couldn't focus. Why would Pastor be calling me? So as soon as we prayed out, I asked Dr. Judy, "Is this a good call or a not so good call?" She said, "You know how we had mothers speak on Mother's Day a couple years ago? We're doing that again this year, and we would like for you to be a part of it." Whew, my anxiety level calmed down. We didn't hit Pastor with a flag. Only for my anxiety level to rise again. What? Wait, me? Wait, what am I going to say? "You sure you don't want me to dance?" See, I'm not even supposed to be standing here today, and definitely not as a mother. I was diagnosed with stage 2 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma when I was 7 years old. After many rounds of chemo and radiation, I'm blessed to say that I've been in remission for over 20 years. Though I praise God that I have not had the cancer return, there have been other complications from cancer and treatment arise over the years, with one of those being that I might not be able to have children. As I prepared to go off to college, the long-term clinic that I have been going to since I went into remission gave me a binder with my medical history in it. In those papers, it described my medical history and long-term issues that could present themselves following treatment. One of those was infertility. Even at 17 or 18 years old, my heart sunk. While I had no intentions on being a mom anytime soon, I knew that one day I wanted to be one. I wanted to be just like my mom. See, she was the best mom I could have. Hey, Mom. I prayed that I would have her strength. Caring for a child as sick as I was, while still having a full-time job and a younger child to take care of, took an immense amount of strength, prayer, and dedication. I always referred to my mom as Mary Poppins because kids loved her growing up, and she loved them back. My house was a house that all of our friends would come to eat, chill, and hang out. We didn't have a big house, but it was always filled with love and, well, food. My mother sacrificed so much to see to it that my brother and I were happy. Not that we had everything that we wanted, but that we were filled with true joy that would carry us throughout our years. The things that we were most interested in, she became interested in, and saw to it that we got to experience those things to the best of her ability. I have always been a dancer, and my mother would spend countless hours driving me to and from rehearsals and performances, regardless of how tired she was. And remember, I called her Mary Poppins, so many of those rides turned into taking my friends home as well. When I accepted a dance talent scholarship to Ohio State University, go Bucks, I knew that this would not have been possible without my mother's sacrifice. I know that my mother had many dreams for herself, but she put that all aside to raise my brother and I will be forever grateful for that. I wanted to have the faith of my grandmother. My grandmother went to a small Baptist church in Dayton, Ohio. Although I went to church with my mom, attending church with my grandmother was different. Anytime I went to church with her, I would see my name posted on the sick and shut in sign. You know, the small wooden sign with the white wooden movable letters. And every time I went with her, the pastor would call me down in front and pray over me with the same prayer he had prayed the last time, and the congregation would start shouting. He would look me dead in my face and tell me that God was a healer and that I was going to be okay. As I returned to my seat, the deacons would start singing from the hymnal, my grandmother would give me a peppermint, and all would be all right with the world. I didn't understand then what was going on, but hey, at least I got a peppermint out the deal. The Bible says in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So fast forward to 2012, I am pregnant with my first child. I was so thankful to God that he had afforded me this wonderful gift and terrified out of my mind at the same time. I found comfort in knowing that God would not have allowed me to be the overseer of one of his precious children if he did not trust that I could rise to the occasion. So the adventure began. My experience as a mother thus far, I can attest, as I'm sure most mothers can, that my mother's strength and sacrifice and my grandmother's faith have already been tested throughout this thing called motherhood. These little beings do not come with instruction manuals. And as I tell many first-time moms, there's a lot of on-the-job training that happens and continues for the rest of your life. Every time you think you have the swing of things, a curveball is sent to throw you off. At 5 months into me being pregnant with my first child, my husband and I decided that I would stay home with our son, at least for the first year. While I was excited about the idea, I didn't personally know any stay-at-home moms and wondered what I was getting myself into. There were so many articles on why having a parent at home was the best for a child, and many rebuttal articles on why the socialization of daycare was best. It was all confusing, and I often wondered if I was making the right decision. So I want to share a few lessons that I have learned from my experience staying home to raise my children and navigating mommy decisions. Number one, what is best for your child is what you feel is best for your child. I had to trust my instincts and not solely rely on articles and the advice of others. Knowing that God trusted me with his children, that little voice inside of me, the Holy Spirit, would help me make the best decisions for our family dynamic. Making sure that my child, now children, are all well taken care of, happy, and developing appropriately is all that matters, and that comes in many forms. Everything from keeping your child home, whether or not to breastfeed or to vaccinate your child, will be challenged by society. And being rooted in Christian faith and upbringing, my decisions will reflect that. Number two, although mom was now my working title, I still had to find what that new identity meant within the greater picture of my existence. I heard Dr. Judy say one time, why does the stay-at-home mom always feel the need to prove their worth? Or something to that extent, and it's so true. I don't know if it's society or our own insecurities that make us feel like we have to prove that we are doing something meaningful all day and not just lazily watching the day go by. Or that we still have a voice that rings significant to someone other than our children. I felt at times I was missing out on accomplishing some of the goals I had set for myself. Let's face it, I didn't go to undergrad and go into debt for graduate school to not use these degrees to change the world, right? I learned to realize that raising two children may be the single most important job that I will ever have, and no one could define my existence besides God and myself. Number three, trusting the Lord was the only way that I was going to be successful on this journey. While pregnant with my daughter, it was found on my 5-month ultrasound that she may have a blockage in her intestines. I was referred to Children's National Medical Center, and after an MRI, the blockage was confirmed. We arranged for her to have surgery the day she was born. Although I was high risk and saw my doctor weekly, little lady still decided to come 2 months early. The night she was born, Children's National sent an ambulance to our hospital and whisked her away. I wasn't even allowed to hold her, and since I just had a C-section, I couldn't go to the hospital with her. That was a terrifying experience. My precious little girl needed me, and I couldn't be there for her. And here again is where those lessons from my mother and my grandmother snuck their way in. I prayed for the strength of my mother and the faith of my grandmother to get me through. I thought to myself, how would my mother handle this situation? What would she do? As a side note, growing up, my mother was gangster about us. She is small in stature, but mighty in presence when it comes to her children. I have many stories that I can tell you, but I'll save that for another time. So remembering that prayer that was once prayed over me back at my grandmother's small church in Dayton, Ohio, I began to praise God in my hospital room for my daughter's healing. I began to praise God, knowing the experience and how God healed me, I was confident that he could do the same for my daughter. Although I couldn't physically be there, God was at the hospital guiding the doctors and nurses' hands as they performed major surgery on her little 18-hour-old body. She had a lengthy recovery following her surgery, but anyone who knows my daughter knows. You would never know she went through anything so invasive, and I owe that all to God. As I end my time with you, all I can say is, but God. God had a plan for my life, and while it may be different than the one I had for myself, it has been nothing short of amazing. Even on the hard days, you know, moms, when one is crying inconsolably and the other one decides to take advantage and swing from the chandelier while you're trying to figure out what's wrong with the first one. Even on those days, before I lay my head on my pillow at night, I praise God for my little blessings. I pray for strength and courage to be an advocate for my children, all while teaching them how to have a voice of their own. I pray that they love the Lord with all of their hearts and never depart from their Christian upbringing. I pray that God be a fence around them and protect them all the day long. And I pray for them to have true joy and love and treat others as our God has loved and treated us. Thank you.
My mother is Melissa Montgomery. And she is special because I know her to be a hometown hero. She's been in special education since I can remember and an administrator since I can remember. And she has the biggest giving heart for every student. She will take them under their wing. She'll give them the shirt off their back. And that has stood out to me all of my years.
My mother is an amazing woman. She raised me as a single mom until her and my dad, which adopted me, got married, changed my life, helped me grow into the man I am today, and I really appreciate everything she's done for me. I remember a time when I was in elementary school, and there was a teacher that I was having problems with. You know, I don't think she or my parents necessarily believed me at the time that it was her and not me, because I was somewhat of a troublemaker when I was a kid. And she came up to the school, and then that's when she realized that, you know, it wasn't me. I just felt that we had gained some kind of trust, and I felt that she would always be there for me at that point and thereon. To this day,
Alfred Street should be excited to hear my mom, because I don't think she's ever had a platform like this here at church. As many years as she's been here and as much as we're involved in, I think it would be great insight for everyone to get to hear about us and about how she feels about her family and her love for the Lord.
A setup. Good evening. Oh, can you take a moment and just pray with me? Oh, Father God, God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, you, Father, who created us all, thank you for never leaving me. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for creating me without a spirit of fear. Thank you for blessing me every day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for my husband, who is my steady rock. guide my tongue. In the name of Jesus, your Son and my Redeemer, I pray. Amen. Good evening. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, grandmothers, auntie mothers, sister mothers. Happy Mother's Day to all the members of my village that helped me raise my children. I've given birth to two sons and a daughter, but I proudly respond to many children and young adults who call me mom. Motherhood is a challenging and rewarding assignment that you can't prepare for. There are no rule books and no playbooks, but there are hundreds of handbooks, and some of them have some very interesting suggestions. But there is only one handbook that I use, and it has seen me through all the sorrows, frustrations, and joys of motherhood, the Bible. In that book, there are two major rules that this mother follows. Tonight, I want to share a snippet of my unique journey as a mother. It all started in Brooklyn, New York, where I was born and raised during the height of the civil rights movement. No, I'm not going to tell you what year. This is Alpha Street. You can do the math and figure it out. I attended Concord Baptist Elementary School in Brooklyn. My principal's husband was the late Dr. Reverend Gardner C. Taylor, who I had the privilege of hearing preach every week when every student in my school went to chapel. On Sundays, I attended an Episcopal church that my mother's family had attended for decades. Let's just say I learned to pray at a very early age. Growing up in my home with an alcoholic, I remember praying for peace. When I started attending a public middle school in the heart of Bedford-Stuyvesant at the tender age of 10, I prayed for safety. I probably should have prayed a little bit more entering high school, but this middle child knew it all. When I found my voice at the ripe old age of 13, I prayed my mother would find a soap that tasted better. Yeah, it was like that. When my father died before I turned 18, I prayed I would see him again. When I married an abusive man, I prayed for a way out. I prayed a lot before I had children, but my prayer life has increased exponentially. I have prayed more for my three children than I ever prayed for myself. As every mother in this building knows, children will cause a mother to wear out her knees. Mothers realize early in our children's lives that we can't protect them forever. Sooner or later, something will cause them pain, and it is very difficult to watch your child in pain, whether it's physical or emotional. My greatest challenge as a mother is remaining Christ-like when someone, okay, anyone, does or says something that hurts my child. When my children hurt, I hurt. When I learned an adult had made a negative comment to my child about his college choice, I was surprised, especially when I heard the comment went something like, "Good luck in those mountains with all those white people." I thought, really? Who says that to a teenager? And before I could say a word, which some of you know doesn't take very long, I heard a booming voice that said, "Pray." When my phone rang at 2 a.m. and I heard my child's voice telling me he had been pulled over and was being arrested, my heart sank and I prayed. In court, when he was given the option of jail or rehabilitation, I prayed. When my child called from college to tell me she was not accepted into what this angry mom described as a selfish elitist girls group, yes, I called it that. Well, my actual words were probably a little worse than that. But I told you I had difficulty remaining Christ-like when my children were hurt. But I prayed. My children were taught at a very young age to talk to God about everything. They were born at Alfred Street. They regularly attended Sunday school, participated in the Scouts, junior and senior youth programs, and sang with the children's choir and gospel inspirers. They danced and played with the children's orchestra. They were taught by men and women of God in this edifice for many years. They volunteered here and traveled to foreign lands with people of God here. They witnessed firsthand the healing power of God, the redemptive power of God, and of the restorative power of God. They cried and prayed when their young friends were funeralized here. God has a plan for our lives, and He knows exactly what we need when we need it. One of my prayers for my children asks God to move them into the path He has for their life, understanding that He might have to break them and rebuild them, but knowing that the plan God has for them is far better than anything I can imagine. In God's time, in every situation, He answered my prayer. But God also answered my children's prayers and this village's prayers. My youngest son attended the college of his choice. Yes, it was a long journey, and there were times when he tried to quit. But God. He ultimately earned a 6-year, 4-year degree. Learned a lot about himself and met some wonderful people who helped him accept and be proud of the man God created him to be. He returned to playing several instruments and has been the sound technician for 2 local musicals. God is good. Yeah, he is. God is good. Fast forward 7 years, and my daughter's experience with what I now refer to as an illustrious sorority was everything she prayed for. Yes, I have changed my opinion of this extremely supportive group of women. I have grown to appreciate my village and give thanks when I see God's hand at work. Because I have a relationship with God and talk to Him on a regular basis, I quickly recognize His hand at work, and God had been working on that for a long time. My God has transformed my daughter into a refined, self-assured woman. My daughter always prayed for a sister, which wasn't happening, and now God has blessed her with 69. Only God. The most painful transformation was going through rehabilitation with my oldest son. We visited him for 10 weeks every Sunday after leaving church. I watched God break him and rebuild him into a healthy, confident, and successful man. My oldest child has a testimony that can never be taken from him. He unselfishly shares his experiences with anyone who wants to listen. His testimony is already having a positive impact on others' lives. God has great things in store for him. Through it all, my Alfred Street family prayed for my children. So, if you haven't picked up on the 2 rules that I follow, let me make it plain. Pray all the time about everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And teach my children to know God for themselves. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, and I add this little bit, and hurting and sad or angry, he will not depart from it. Increase your faith in God through prayer. Get your children involved in a supportive church village, and you will make it through motherhood. As a mom, I learned quickly that without totally relying on God, I would not be able to care for my family or myself. I could never have reached this point in my life without prayer, and never have raised 3 amazing children who are all college graduates without prayer, my husband, my village, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There's no sermon I could have made, created, or thought of that can cap the power of the testimony of two real mothers with real children and real family and real struggles who also rely on a real God. Would you help me thank God for Melissa and Ebony just one more time and the courage to stand in this place?